There were ironclads and other vessels. It was a strong Union force. The Confederates in front of them only amounted to about 15,000 men under General Richard Taylor. Taylor was Zachary Taylor's son. He was Jefferson Davis's brother-in-law. Jefferson Davis's first wife had been Richard Taylor's sister. She had died shortly after she married Jefferson Davis. Banks fell into a pattern of magnifying the strength of the enemy. He found excuse after excuse for delay as he moved into Louisiana. By April 6th, he was about 40 miles south of Shreveport. He had not made that much progress. On April 8th and 9th, he and Taylor fought two of the largest battles fought in the Trans-Mississippi Theater. On April 8th, they fought at the Battle of Mansfield, or Sabine Crossroads as it was also called. The next day they fought the Battle of Pleasant Hill. The first was a tactical Southern victory, Mansfield. The second, a tactical Union victory. Banks lost about 3,600 men. Taylor's army lost about 1,000 fewer than the Federals had lost. Banks was certainly not beaten soundly as a result of these two actions, but he was beaten mentally, and he decided on a retreat. He'd learned that the Union column coming out of Arkansas was not doing well, and he decided that the best thing for him to do was retreat. Taylor wanted to come to grips with Banks again, to fight him again, but his theater commander, who was Edmund Kirby Smith — we last saw him during the Kentucky campaign of 1862, Edmund Kirby Smith said, no, just let him go if he's going to go. As Banks withdrew, his ironclad escort found itself in trouble because the Red River was falling. The water level was dropping, and there was danger that the vessels would draw too much water to get out. Now, that specter did not please Grant at all. He ordered Banks to save these ships, and Union engineers came up with the idea of building jetties out into the Red River, narrowing and deepening the channel. The Union ironclads would get up steam and would sort of shoot through rapids to make their way to safety. They just managed to make it, but they did. Banks finally limped back into New Orleans, past the date when he should have been outside Mobile, having accomplished virtually nothing, and the failure being due mostly to his incompetence. Porter, David Dixon Porter, disgustedly wrote Sherman, "I imagine your disappointment at having your well-laid plans interfered with and having part of your command mixed up in an affair, the management of which would be discreditable to a boy 9 years of age." So Porter is saying that Banks is not quite a 10-year-old when it comes to commanding armies, but I guess he's approaching that 10-year-old threshold of competence. It's a very disappointing fiasco. Mobile would be safe for the moment. The interior of Alabama would be safe from Union armies bent on logistical destruction. A major part of Grant's strategy of exhaustion had come to nothing. Let's now move to Virginia and look at the two men who were going to hold a leg while the others skin, at Benjamin Butler and Franz Siegel. We'll start with Butler. Butler fared little better than Banks. Although he did begin quickly, and he did move in quite good fashion up to within 15 miles of Richmond. He got to that point on May the 5th. So he started when Grant wanted him to start, and he made good progress. He had several times the number of men then defending the Richmond-Petersburg line. But Butler was overcome by a sort of strange paralysis when he got that close to Richmond, and he began to creep forward, giving time to the Confederates to assemble a force of nearly 18,000 to defend that crucial approach to Richmond. Gustave Touton Beauregard was in command of these forces, and he attacked Butler on May 16th at Drury's Bluff, 7 miles south of Richmond. That was enough for Butler. He decided to fall back to a line between the Appomattox and James Rivers, where he entrenched. It was right there in a V where the rivers came together. He entrenched. Beauregard followed him and entrenched opposite Butler. So there is Butler hunkered down between those two rivers. That whole movement had the effect of sealing Butler up, taking him off the strategic map. As Grant put it later, Butler's army was, quote, as completely shut off from further operations directly against Richmond as if it had been in a bottle strongly corked.